Hey, how's it going, everybody? It's a Ken Braverman podcast. It's Sunday, October 6th, 2019. It's only 1:30 p.m. That's right. There's probably a lot of football games going on right now. I don't know. I could look at scores and tell you if we want to do the news on this non-live podcast for when you're listening to it. But I'd rather talk about some more evergreen ideas. I've was really thinking about sometimes I'll go get some coffee in the morning, go for a walk, and I will see that Arizona is beating Cincinnati 7-3. That's good. I think Arizona's my upset pick of the day. But let's talk not about football. Let's talk about other things. So as I was on my walk today, kind of planning out the day, and what I was going to do was thinking about, why are there horrible traffic lights everywhere, that screw up traffic? Why do we pass around cash instead of – I mean, sometimes we don't pay for cash. Sometimes we use cards and stuff. Why do we spread dirty coin money around with our hands? Why do we do all these things in such an inefficient way in the world? Why don't we have super intelligent robots directing us how to do everything optimally so that we don't sit in traffic, we don't transmit disease more – readily? There's just so many things that we could make, so many ways that we could make the world a better place for all of us, an easier place for us to habitate. And just, why isn't all food fresh and not filled with viruses? Why? And the answer is kind of easy. Why isn't everything optimal? The answer is because human beings are not optimal. And not to mention all the other species and mammals and all types of living organisms that are out trying to fend for themselves and eat other insects and everything, that's going on in the world, right? So we can only terraform our planet so much. I know we kind of take it for granted that humans have taken over the Earth and we do basically what we want to with it. Thank you, Dwight Eisenhower, or whoever, FDR, or whoever pushed the interstate highway system. If you've ever driven the highways of this great nation of ours, I cannot believe how long it must have taken to build all these ridiculous roads. The United States is a vast nation. And, I mean, there are crazy roads I've never even been on. I've heard driving through Central and West Texas on the highway is essentially like driving off the edge of the flat earth forever. Like you just literally do that for like 8 to 10 or 12 hours of nothing. Nothing but cacti and dirt. It's amazing that we built roads, okay? It's amazing what human beings have done to, yes, terraform, take advantage, really smack the earth around and make it do what we want it to do for us, okay? We take it for granted that we've done that because, we're a dominant human species, right? But we're not totally optimal. We're super smart. Many of us are. But we also have flaws. And that's why things aren't always optimal. So we're transitioning into a new collective dominance over the planet and over each other and over, hopefully, over the universe that humans are taking on. We're creating artificial intelligence. We're replicating the best of our brains, we hope. We're replicating the best ideas that we have, and we're applying them to the whole species writ large. If somebody finds out how to a way to have a robot create a greenhouse and grow its vegetable or fruit or whatever of choice in like a 20 square foot, 30 square foot area, just operated completely off solar power and it can hydrate itself somehow from a well or from moisture in the air or whatever. If we make it do things that we all need and want, it's eventually going to get better and better and better and better to the point where we won't even realize how much greater our standard of living as a whole has gone up. Like, I always try to make examples to this. When I was growing up, we only had five channels of television, and we had to watch whatever crap PBS was throwing on at 9 o'clock because I didn't want to watch Cagney and Lacey, and you didn't want to watch, whatever baseball. I mean, it was so weird. You had no choices, right? Now, anyone can get anything they want, right, stream to their phone and sit in your bed and watch whatever you want. Right, I watched a documentary about Patrick Swayze last night called I Am Patrick Swayze or I Am Swayze. It was fantastic. They had interviews with like Demi Moore and Rob Lowe and all these people that acted with them. And it talked to his wife, and just a phenomenal documentary. Something that would have literally been something that you would show, I guess, in a movie theater probably in the 1990s. You know, it would have been about somebody else. It would have been about Johnny Carson or Frank Sinatra. Actually, Frank Sinatra wasn't dead in the 90s yet, but it would have been about somebody else, a documentary about someone else, and you would have had to go to a movie theater and pay $6. $6 for a movie back in the 90s. But you would have to be a Friday night, and you'd have to go out and do that and pay a lot for popcorn. Now, and that's only if it accidentally was made and shown in the movie theater and you were exposed to it. Now you've got a choice of an infinite number of Patrick Swayze documentaries or anybody else that you want to search, and you can be intrigued. You know, I talk to my grandpa as much as I can. He's 96 years old, and he's, you know, on his easy chair, like as most older people are when they become less mobile, and he watches television still, you know, with the regular cable, And I try to expose him to the YouTube stuff. And when I do, he does see that beautiful world of anything he wants. And he starts racking his memory about things he wants to see. And he really loves it. Our standard of living of the information and media and entertainment that we can soak up and take in has changed so dramatically over the last generation. I mean, you had a pre-internet generation and now a post-internet generation. And the post-internet generation has the ability to manipulate the post-internet even better, right? Even 10 years ago, you couldn't stream NFL games on your phone for free. Now you can, because NFL's learned how to take advantage of that, wants to get their product out, and we want to consume it. So where am I going with this? We have the opportunity to apply AI the best. This is the important thing. It has to be the best that humans have come up with. Hopefully it isn't the worst that humans come up with. AI is supposed to be the best. For example, we don't create – or if you created a robot that was supposed to – you know, one of those robots at the assembly plants for the cars. Like, let's talk about General Motors and, you know, the auto worker strike and stuff like that. General Motors wants to migrate toward electric cars. And the auto workers are trained on old combustion era cars. And the suppliers are making supplies for old combustion era cars. And I think the leadership at GM is seeing what's going on, seeing sales slipping, also seeing what, you know, not the worst consequences of that, which is the effect it has on our environment. Like, should we be burning oil all the time to move ourselves around, or should we be transferring lithium ion battery electric technology to torque stuff and not creating any emissions that cloud up the air? Should we keep things clear, or should we make them dirty? Seems like an obvious, let's keep it clean, if it truly is clean, which electric battery technology, especially when it's being used, is clean, not to mention it's better. So there's this war going on, and the AI, what does the AI say? What is the best answer? If you trained a robot to put together cars, this is where I was going with this, and the robot didn't weld stuff properly and put things backwards and kept missing its mark, you would have to program it to hit the mark, right? Like, hitting the mark is the point. Welding the door in the correct spot so that it opens properly without crack, right, is important. You'd want it to get it right. AI is supposed to be right, not wrong. Humans make mistakes. Humans make AIs that would make mistakes, but you can then correct the AI, and the AI corrects itself, hopefully in perpetuity forever. Now, we have the opportunity to push ourselves in this direction of AI making everything better. What's astonishing? Not really. It's not astonishing, but it's just to witness it is so, it makes me bubble. Okay. Such a small percentage of the population has the free time and the interest and the foresight to understand what is happening when it comes to AI. There are people like Ray Kurzweil. Look him up. He's a genius. He's been predicting this. He knows what's going on. And to dumb it down for everyone who isn't paying attention, which is 99.9999999% of the population that doesn't get it, when AI starts to take over and help us solve even more problems for us because it's smarter than us, it's collective intelligence, it's compounded intelligence, it's exponentially multiplied intelligence. When it starts to do this, the standard of living for all of us is going to rise so dramatically so fast because all the problems are going to get solved in a rapid succession. And we need to allow this to happen. Because clearly we are not doing a good job directing ourselves right now. Okay? We're operating in an old way of thinking about problems. This is the reason kind of why Trump has been allowed to maintain his presidency for so long, is we have old 1700s laws, you know, that don't make any sense anymore. Let me explain why. Like, a couple minutes here. So our forefathers never could have imagined, they couldn't imagine in 1700s that this is the only like example of this, that there was a newspaper that was written by our foreign adversary. Imagine it was England back in the 1700s, that England would be able to create a newspaper that not only would it be able to get into everybody's bedroom without anyone knowing, it didn't even have to get delivered to the house, but somehow it was like this passed around newspaper that everyone could get and share. This is like Facebook, right? That you can have by yourself. And the newspaper was also watching you and figuring out if you were being responsive to it, and it would change itself to try to direct your view. And that this type of hidden propaganda that was delivered to everybody, like Paul Revere's bringing a newspaper with a camera on it to everyone's house, and the British are infecting everybody with their propaganda, which is exactly what the Russians were doing on Facebook with everybody who's using Facebook still, and they're still, I'm sure, doing it or trying. Our forefathers never could have imagined that would be a way we'd have to defend ourselves. So they didn't craft our laws to stop that, sort of, we didn't realize it would be a problem. And I mean, there's a direction I want to go with. This is painful, but I may as well go there. When you are raised with a certain type of upbringing, oftentimes of religious influence, you are prone to thinking that life is about suffering and that humans are supposed to suffer and repent for sins, and there's a whole storyline behind it. And unfortunately, people tend to manipulate, some people, abusers, manipulate that mindset that you've been put into by being exposed to that growing up. I was exposed to that. A lot of people exposed to that. The Jewish, the Catholic religion, Christians all have some deviation of that. I know of. And basically what it's saying is, get in line. And also, you need to repent, okay? Now, somebody like the president abuses people and shames people and also tries to speak to the religious right because they're used to being abused and they accept it, which is why they don't change their mind. All right, it sucks, I know, but we have to – grow up and understand that we are not all repenting for sins from some guy from 2,000 years ago or something. We're not repenting for Eve's sins. This is all BS nonsense. We have to let it go and understand that we can be happy. We can reward ourselves. We shouldn't shy away from releasing dopamine and serotonin in our systems by rewarding ourselves. We shouldn't over-reward ourselves, and we shouldn't be overly narcissistic and selfish at the expense of others. But there's nothing wrong with, premarital sex. There's nothing wrong with it. Let's take precautions. Let's educate about it, not just say something like abstinence. Abstinence is a 2,000-year-old idea that does not work. People have been fucking forever, and they're going to continue to do so. So, an AI would not generally come back with a religiously infused answer because they don't make sense. They're old ideas. So our president's taking advantage of old religion that has been burned into people's heads. And AI is going to wipe out religion, and we should kind of accept that that's fine. The AI essentially is the religion. Our collective intelligence and knowledge is greater than that of some fictitious god. That's where we have to get to. And it will happen. It will transition, because many religious people that I know also don't really believe all that crap either. They just go because they've been victimized since childhood into doing it. There's a reason why those child molesters choose that profession of being a priest or whatever. They're already lying to you about talking to God, essentially. So they're also going to manipulate you to do something which is clearly wrong and illegal and awful and is a perversion, which is molesting children. And that's why they choose that. They want to be around kids in a position of power. And you got to ask why that happened. And it's clearly wrong. And the AI would tell you that. The AI will tell you which professions take advantage of that. I'm sure. Anyway, I'm sorry to bash that hard on religion. There are some good elements to religion. There is morality that persists through a lot of faiths. That's fine. But we've got to weed ourselves through the lies. We can't live in a world of lies. That's what's happening right now in our presidency, and it's tearing everybody apart. Although it's making us come back together once we see what's happening, it's also getting people to come out and declare what is right and what is morally acceptable. It's nice to see the whistleblowers and the intelligence community and people that care coming out and saying, this is wrong. I don't care if you extort me, President Trump. I don't care if you fire me and use your firepower to fire everyone and try to abuse everyone. How does he pull that off? How does he get Steve Mnuchin to not follow the law and hand over his tax returns? How does he exercise that amount of abusive power? I don't know. He does have a talent for doing that. But those kind of bullies ruin societies. They ruin it because people can't act in a way that is morally acceptable. They are pressured into committing crimes. And that's the argument I would give Steve Mnuchin, is be like, I was being threatened by the president and ordered by the president not to do these things, even though I know the law said the opposite. Now, at a certain point, Steve, you have to grow up and either take responsibility for your actions and go to jail for violating the law and withholding information that the American public should be getting, which is proof that Donald Trump has Russian loans, and that's why he's such a ball sucker to Vladimir Putin. You do have to release that information at some point, or you're going to jail. So make your decision, Steve. Either you're going to be an American or you're going to be a traitor. And be careful, because being a traitor, the penalties are not great. Not great at all. So we're out.